made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's pray together. Father, Lord God in heaven, a great and a good God, what a privilege it is to be here tonight. God, where two or three are gathered together, Lord, in your name, God, you're here with us. Lord, now as we open your word, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will guide us, and God, that you will accomplish your purpose. Bless us now, Lord. God, as I speak, God, we just pray that you get the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So God created Adam, and Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enos. One page ago, Genesis 4:26, and to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. 235 years after God created, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And within that same generation, you know, when Enos died, Noah was 80 years old. And it was a very short time. It was a very short time. And we just read the story of the condition of the world, right? By the time Noah was in the middle of his life, the world had literally gone to pieces. And the multitude was wicked, and transgression did increase. And this is the world. This is the world that Lamech brought Noah into. And I find it odd. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Lamech was weary. He was weary of this world. He was weary of the toil, and he was weary because of the curse. Right? The wickedness that was in the earth. It was an ungodly place to live, and it was an ungodly place to raise a family and try to provide. And he found himself in a situation where he had a brand new baby, and he called his name Noah, and Noah means rest. And he said, this same shall comfort us. And I thought about that, and I didn't get it. How is Noah going to comfort us? You know, that after the flood, there was a new covenant. God made a new covenant with man, and he provided animal flesh for us to eat. And I thought about that a minute, and I said, well, you know, I guess that would make providing for your family a little easier in the toil of his hands. But that's not what Lamech was talking about. I think we find the answer to that in 1 Peter, chapter number 3. If you can find your 100, turn there. We'll read this. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse number 18. We'll start there. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once in the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. We see the gospel of Christ, Jesus Christ himself, and the cross. That's the picture that's presented. Verse 19, by which also he went, who went, Jesus went, and preached unto the spirits in prison, who was in prison. Well, the wicked were in prison. And when did Jesus do that? When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. You know, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he may have been the only one. Pretty wicked world. Jesus Christ, in the Spirit, through Noah, preached unto the spirits in prison. You know, Jesus Christ is not just our Jesus. He was Jesus for all time. And he was Jesus for them as well. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Where are you going to find comfort other than Jesus Christ? This same shall comfort us. Right? Noah, a preacher of righteousness. But it was Christ that preached, right? In the Spirit, through Noah. And there's where our comfort came. And that's what Lamech was talking about when he was talking about Noah. Noah being rest and bringing comfort. Verse 20, 8 souls were saved by water. Noah was successful. Noah saved his own soul, right? Not that he saved it. But he was saved. His family was saved. He was successful. In a very wicked time, we can be successful in a very wicked time. Noah built an ark in a very wicked time. Genesis chapter 6, Noah was successful. We're going to talk about the blueprint here shortly. Verse number 8, but Noah. So God goes through and he describes the condition of the world. And if you hadn't read verse 8, we'd probably be underwater right now. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I know Noah was successful as a Christian. He was successful in his project, right? To build the ark. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But there was a Noah, and rest did come. So Noah builds the boat, 300 feet, 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. I did a little digging. I tried to find out just how much that thing weighed. It's a hard thing to figure out. And I got estimates all over the place. A small estimate, one of the lower numbers that I got was 47 million pounds. And I got some a lot bigger than that. 120 years, 365 days in a year, 1,000 pounds a day. It's a lot of work. 120 years, you never take a day off. So, big project. A big commitment. Noah had to have what? He had to have some blueprints to get the job done. And that's what I want to look at today, is Noah's blueprint for a successful ark. And I think we're going to see that Noah's blueprint for success in his life had nothing to do with the boat. Look in verse number 9 with me. I'm going to give you 4 points, 4 blueprints that Noah had in his own life that made him successful. Verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. A just man is a man that's honest with God and he's honest with himself. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace within your gates. a just man, right? And when you find a just man, what you'll notice about him is that he's a man that can be trusted. He can be trusted because the underpinning to that is that he's honest. And he's honest with God and he's honest with himself. So you can believe what he tells you, and his judgments are righteous. And Noah was a just man. And that's the first blueprint for his success, is that Noah was a just man. Number two, in the same verse, and perfect in his generations. That does not mean that Noah and his children were all sinless, right? We know that's not true. None of us are. No one is sinless. So he was not perfect in that way. He was perfect in his sincerity. He was a man of purity. Noah wanted to live a holy life before God. So he had religious sincerity, and I don't think Noah wore that on his sleeve. It was his life, and it was true religion to him. And he was very sincere about it. The word that I think of when I think of Noah and a few others in the Bible, not every character in the Bible, I think, has this trait. But it was pursuit. Pursuit is, when I looked it up and it caught my eye, pursuit means following with a view to overtake. And I believe Noah had that characteristic, to pursue after God. I think of the story of Moses in Exodus 33. And God said, Moses, it's a stiff-necked people. You lead them, but I'm not going with you. And God pretty much bluntly told Moses that. Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, then we're not going up. I don't want to go. God said, okay, Moses, I'll go with you. I'll go. That's the end of the story, right? No, it's not. It's not the end of the story. The first words out of Moses' mouth was this. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God the Father, show me thy glory. You see, pursuit is that next level. Following with a view to overtake. Was Moses content when God said, I'll go with you? Was Moses content? No. Moses wanted to be just a little bit closer. God, show me thy glory, Lord. Show me thy glory. God says, I can't show you my glory, Moses. You can't handle it. You'll die. God, show me thy glory. I just want to be just a little bit closer. You know, Moses wanted it. You know what? Moses got just a little taste of it, didn't he? God passed him by and covered his face going by. But Moses saw him as he passed by. He saw just a little bit of his glory. Hey, do we want to see just a little bit of the glory of God? Are we going to pursue the things of God? Are we going to pursue God? Are we going to go that little bit further, that next step that takes me just a little bit closer to the glory of God? Sinless perfection, no, but perfect sincerity in his generations. Noah had that. That was his second blueprint. He was perfect in his generations. Over time. Number three, the third blueprint, and Noah walked with God. In Jeremiah 23, the Bible says, "Am I a God at hand and not a God afar off? Can any man hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Noah walked with God. Noah behaved just like God was there all the time. Right? Because God is there all the time. The question is, do we behave that way? So Noah's success, in part, is tied to that blueprint. Do we behave as if God is here with us? Number four. Find it in verse number 22, chapter number 6. God had given Noah his instructions, and the Bible says this, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Obedience. Direct obedience to the word of God. So Noah built the boat. Right? He spent a long time doing it. And he had these blueprints to underpin his life. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah deliberately obeyed God's word for what it said. And because of that, when the world was destroyed, there was a but Noah. And Noah built the boat. And Noah was successful in that he got on the boat. And his family got on the boat. And there was a flood and Noah got off the boat. And then there was Abraham. And there was Isaac. And there was Jacob. And there was Moses. And there was David. And there was Mary, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, born of a virgin. The sacrifice for all mankind. God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ that died for us. Noah was really just one of a kind, was he not? There was only one but Noah. And he had success. He built a boat. He built the project. He did the work. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You know, God has a project for each of us. And we can be successful at it. I thank God that I'm not alone. I'm sure Noah felt that way when he's building the boat. He had his family. The rest of the world was against him. Thank God for my church. So we have work to do. We have an ark to build. We have our own personal ark to build. And Noah has given us blueprints that we can use to be successful, to move the cause of Christ forward. So let's consider that in our own lives and what part we play so that we can be successful not only for ourselves, but for our family, for our church, and for our God. Let's bow our heads.